Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Fletcher. And Bob has been at this for, good length of time. You know, God's given us, each one of us, a gift or something we can do. And he's given Bob the ability to put together videos. And he puts together videos, DVDs. We carry a number of them on various subjects, whether it be weather modification or the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy or the murder of Sonny Bono or some of the things that the government is doing behind the scenes. But today we're going to be talking about his DVD on UFOs. Now, of course, it goes along with the first hour of our program where we were talking about the supernatural and the people who are mediums who can contact the supernatural. But ladies and gentlemen, if you have that gift, it is not a gift. It is a curse. And renounce it. Get rid of it. Because, of course, it will get you into all sorts of problems and draw you away from the one true Lord. And you cannot play games with these demonic spirits. But there are other things out there that are strange and cannot be explained simply from a logical point of view. And one of them is UFOs, unidentified flying objects. And certainly the truth is out there. Something is out there. This is not imaginary. Finding some new ones, spotted some new ones in Texas. We did a wonderful series of interviews with Barry Shamish on going into the background of he called it the Return of the Giants, but they were the UFO sightings which went on for a matter of years there in Israel and then suddenly disappeared as soon as they stopped appearing just as quickly as it appeared. But we find these UFO sightings all over the world, and Bob's done a tremendous job putting together a DVD on UFOs. So without further ado, Bob Fletcher, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Stan. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I'm sorry for the mix-up this morning. I'm glad we get you on this afternoon. Anyway, why don't you pick up the story? How did you get interested in the UFO story, and what did you find out as you got into it further and further?
Well, I'll tell you, several years ago, I had had many people from many directions were constantly saying, asking me if I knew anything about it. As we were doing other investigations and completing other DVDs and videos on a variety of government corruption and the secrecy of government and et cetera, and of course, quite obviously, probably one of the greatest secrets that the government's been keeping from everyone, and not just our government, but other governments apparently are cooperating for some reason or another, whatever that may be. But the big ongoing secret for many, many years, of course, particularly since the 40s, when the very first tremendous amount of sightings of unusual crafts took place, etc. And during that period of time, they set up the first serious investigations by the government. But of course, as you said, they don't tell us what they've genuinely found out, or if in fact it's some of our own weapons. And I think it's kind of split up between totally unknown and our own weapons that we're developing secretly. What happened was someone had contacted me a few years back and said that they had been able to get their hands on some 8,000 documents that had previously been highly classified, etc., and that they were a variety.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Bob Fletcher, and Bob is really sort of an investigative journalist, only he does videos. He actually makes videos, DVDs, and we carry a number of them, and you can get them on our website. But he, of course, some years ago was contacted by someone who said that they had 8,000 government documents, formerly highly classified, but they would turn them over to Bob if he would want to go ahead and begin to research the subject of UFOs. Now, a lot of people sort of say, oh, well, they're just imaginary, until you've actually seen them. I've never seen one, but my wife has seen them, and I know other people have seen them, and the description of them, you know, there's no question that there's something there. There have been over 5,000 people who were studied by, I believe, Dr. John Mack back at Harvard University. I think he was a psychiatrist who claimed they'd been abducted by... So this is not... And they all tell basically the same story. This was not just people making up this story. They couldn't all 5,000 of them give pretty much the same sort of a story or describe these beings or whatever they are in the same manner. So... Be that as it may, Bob is suddenly given all of these documents. And so what did you do? Did you take them and start doing the research?
Well, yes. As a youngster, I had personally had a sighting, my family and I, way, way back when I was like 10 years old. We lived near Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. And one evening, myself and my family all witnessed what was, for the most part, that mystical flying lights, you know, bouncing around the sky and doing strange moves and all. We saw it while watching television. And so the following day, come to find out, it was front page newspaper there locally in Asbury Park, New Jersey, near Fort Monmouth. And the story was that hundreds of people had seen what we had seen. So we were not the lone family in New Jersey that saw it, and and basically, of course, the report there just turned out the same, and that is that the military said yes, they thought they had seen something, nobody knew what it was, and of course that they didn't have anything in the air and all of that, which is a typical kind of a situation. Now that was in the way back; it would have been in the 50s. And so it was the period of time when there was so many of these reports between the 40s and the 50s.
Okay, and hold that thought, Bob. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob Fletcher is saying that he had actually, when he was younger, he along with members of his family had seen what appeared to be UFOs, dancing lights in the sky. A lot of other people saw it at the same time, and in those days, why, there were a lot more reports of these strange sightings, sometimes at nighttime with lights. Other times people would actually see them during the day, and it wasn't one person, literally dozens of people, or sometimes even thousands of people would see these phenomena. So pick the story up there, Bob.
So with my own personal, that very old, long time ago sightings, when I received... as an investigator, as I received this entire box, a huge carton of these classified and formerly highly classified documents, it was really, really interesting. And I ended up, of course, completing a DVD that covered, to my surprise, we ended up covering sightings and descriptions of UFOs in the sky, going back and even in written form, and some of these things are like in Sanskrit and what have you, but going back to 2,000 years before Christ, with the Sumerians actually writing these things and scratching their descriptions of these events and UFOs and mysterious craft in the air, because they didn't describe them as craft, they didn't know what they were, but it goes back as far as a couple of thousand years before Christ. And then, of course, it comes on up through with the interesting story of Columbus seeing writing in his logbook on the board the ship the day before he actually made land discovery in 1492, describing a UFO coming down from the sky, going into the water, traveling under the water alongside their ships, the three boats, or four, whatever it was, and then flying back out and into space, and of course describing it the best he could at that time. And so you have this, how do you describe, you know, how do you explain this kind of a thing that's been going on for so many years? And the documents I have came from, they came from NASA, they came from the Central Intelligence, they came from the FBI, they came from the KGB, they came from our own CIA and FBI investigating information that actually had come from other intelligence agents. For example, the CIA doing a follow-up on things that had taken place in Iran, had taken place in Iraq, had taken place in all these other foreign nations around the world, where their own intelligence agents had gone as far as they could and had turned their sightings to the CIA and the FBI and the Department of Defense and all to try to get assistance. So it was pretty interesting because these were, again, I repeat myself, but it was thousands of high-level investigations, and it was interesting to see how they would actually communicate back and forth between each other, and in some cases replying, from what the, let's say, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, and their Blue Book cooperation with the Blue Book documents, and how they were covering up between each other, and then in some cases actually covering up as opposed to cooperating. So it was just kind of an interesting bottom line to it was, of course, that something certainly was genuinely in existence and were being reported all over the world. And they haven't slowed down, but it appears that the media seems to be extremely selective on what they report. We had actually reports as of in the last 3 days, several reports from some in Texas and a few other places, and in the last 30 days, reports very close by. For example, back on May 22nd in Ramsey, Wisconsin, they reported multiple UFO sightings, and also in East Bethel, Minnesota, in that area. And according to the testimony, what they had seen, the first sightings were on May 22nd. This is just a week and a half ago. And that they were slow moving, again, the bright light, and hovered and then faded out and come back and forth. And on May 24th, some of the same witnesses and other persons had also seen this, what looked like a shining object hovering near East Bethel. And once this object disappeared, three military aircraft moved into the same airspace. And on May 26th, the same witnesses and other friends watched four objects hovering in a triangular pattern until they disappeared. And then on June 2nd, which is yesterday, I guess, my understanding is that the witnesses also saw similar bright lights coming back and disappearing. Now, what happens is sometimes these are reported, and sometimes they're localized and kept away from the national view, so that if it happened in your town, you may have coverage in your town, but they don't go very far going out of the local news media.
And, Chris, really, there have been a number of major investigations, the Operation Blue Book, but everything has been to deceive the American people. And why wouldn't they just tell the American people the truth and say, this is what it's all about? Why do they have to consistently lie to the American people and say they don't exist when they know they exist?
And of course, there are two important points. And then again, of course, this is my opinion, just from what I've seen and studied and what have you. In my opinion, we have two groups of things. We have one group that nobody really knows what, where, and who, and what it is. And then we have the group of our own secret weapons that we are developing, have been developing for years, and those periodically are sighted while they're testing them, and different people will see these things and never seen them before, don't know what they are, and then, of course, they keep those secret, maybe for the logical reason in terms of keeping it from the general public until such time that they want to let people know about a new type of a weapon. That makes sense. But the fact that they try to discredit so many thousands of people for so many years, going back when they were first sighting different craft that were not ours and that were obviously from someplace else, whether they were a demonic spiritual kind of a visit or if it was something that's a mechanical device, literally an aircraft, from some other space, some other planet, or someplace else in outer space. They always, of course, talk about that the public may not be sophisticated enough to handle it. It's like we're all going to go nuts on one afternoon, one going to go crazy on the basis that that our magnificent government would not understand where these were coming from, and if they didn't understand where it's coming from, then we were all going to be scared to death, I guess. And so they use that as a reason to keep their mouths shut on some of these extraordinary sightings. But there's an awful lot. You can go on a day-to-day basis. People that have computers can go on the computer, go on the two or three different locations, and you can find horrendous amounts, even videos and still pictures and stories of up-to-date recent sightings. You have to bear in mind when you look at that stuff that's on the YouTube and different parts of the computer like that, you have to remember at all times, not only is the government pulling our leg and pulling the wool over our eyes on a lot of these, but you have some real screwballs just putting together, of course, some artificial silly stuff and trying to pull off a hoax. So you have to weed through all of that. And if you go to some of the things that are just the most, at the highest level of persons that may be doing the reporting, like airplane pilots and police officers and what have you, that are legitimately reporting these things, those are the best ones to kind of look at and question. And of course, you know, a great one is Gordon Cooper, who was our astronaut, one of our many astronauts, and he was one of the key original astronauts at the beginning of the space program. And he's come forward for years and years and said just outright, he just says there's no question in his mind that there have been sightings of craft that are from other planets. And he had seen them himself before he was even in the astronaut program as a fighter pilot, as a pilot during the war. And he describes how not only had he seen them, but how other pilots and close friends of his in the 40s and the 50s had seen and had experienced being chased by them or having them chase these unknown craft that would go three times faster than any of our aircraft.
And, of course, this is the thing. There's something is out there. And, of course, we're not being told the truth about it. We have to ask why that is. But there is so much evidence for it. And, of course, it's very easy to say, oh, well, I'm not even going to worry about that. It doesn't affect me. But it does affect you. The fact that the government would have an organized program of lies and deception. They even have something, Project Majestic, that was the code name for this. People have tried to get the information out, but, well, a lot of strange things have happened to the people who tried to get the truth out about what's going on. But, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is out there, and, I think you'll be fascinated by the things that Bob Fletcher has found in his studies. Bob, go right ahead.
Well, the when I completed the DVD that we have available, which by the way has live interviews of several key people going back several years that had seen him or had experiences, and including even the old story of Betty and Barney Hill. There was a mixed racial couple back in the 50s that came forward and apparently under hypnosis had been brought out that they had been taken away, abducted for several hours and taken on board a ship and had a spacecraft and it had medical examinations and all. And, of course, this is one of the old stories. What we were able to get and we include in our DVD was the actual recordings, the live recordings of Barney Hill speaking, being regressed under hypnotism, under hypnotic trance. And Barney actually describes his own visions as he's being taken up on board the ship. And, of course, and it's a live audio recording taken by the psychiatrist who actually put him under hypnosis. And it is a startling recording because there's so much fear in his voice that it just puts chills down your spine to realize that this guy, whatever their experience was, he was absolutely terrified. And the only reason I mentioned that he and his wife were of a mixed racial marriage was that you have to remember that this is back in the early 50s, if I remember correctly, like 52 or 3, something like that. And at that time, both of them worked for the post office, and as a mixed couple, it was very difficult for these people to come and take on all of the notoriety and all the attention back in the 50s as a mixed marriage couple. It's not something where it's just a couple of characters that would come forward and come out with this outrageous story. It just, let's say, it added to the credibility, the idea that they would actually expose themselves to come forward at that period of time. Because it was still a very difficult thing to be in a mixed marriage. But they became world famous with their recordings and the hypnotic regression that they took to put them back on board the ship. They described these little characters, little gray kind of aliens like we're so familiar with the big heads and the big eyes and carrying out these experiments, and some of them on their genital areas, and lo and behold, within a year or so of the event, or a few months of the event, there was warts and things of that sort developed around the areas where they actually had claimed that they had undergone these experiments. So there was actually physical changes to their bodies and all. It was an amazing story. And another story that was brought to my attention was that actually goes back to 2,000 to 3,000 years ago in a Hindu poem back from India.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was just talking about this story. It dates back thousands of years to a Hindu. Now, what was this having to do with the Hindu faith?
Well, this is another one of these amazing kind of, the same as they've actually discovered some prehistoric cave drawings inside of caves in different parts of the world, where what we would refer to almost as cavemen, cave dwellers that had actually drawn along with pictures of their own bow and arrows and their hunting exhibitions and things. They had drawn pictures of UFOs in an extreme similar manner of that looked exactly like people are describing this week and yesterday in terms of shape and size and the things they were doing in the sky. And they found these in cave dwellings. But 2,000 to 3,000 years ago, from Indian folklore and history, there actually is a Hindu poem that was actually 10 times longer, to give you an idea how profuse it is, 10 times longer than the Iliad and the Odyssey combined. So it's one of these extraordinary long writings, and it gets, again, going back to 2,000 to 3,000 years ago. And in this poem, and it was called the Mahabharata, and I'm probably saying that wrong, but it's that's the name in India, and it describes the invasion of Earth by cosmic spacecraft. And the craft are described very, very specifically in shape, size, configuration, and it talked about how it moves, and it moves in the same manner in the sky, like those flying saucers that we're, again, that we're seeing today. And it talks about how it was shooting with, and it was descriptions of bursting flames coming out. Well, these obviously seemingly sound like lasers. And it talks about rays of light, bursting flames, burning elephants up instantly where they stood, and burning and shooting down animals with what they called arrows of flames coming out of these saucer-shaped craft and these illuminated craft that were filling the skies and totally attacking Earth and all living things. And it just goes on and on. It's a very, like I say, very, very big, long writing. And it is 2,000 to 3,000 years ago written by Indian scribes or whatever they would have been that that had put this this writing together. And it's so tremendously similar, word for word, line for line, of the kind of sightings that we've had in the last 50 years. You know, it's, again, one of the things that you have to go back in your own mind and say, where in the world did this come from? This certainly cannot be the Sanskrit writings, for crying out loud. They cannot be done just from random imagination and being so exact in their familiar, their similarity to what's going on in present-day reports of UFOs. That's one of the ones that's one of the most, and again, you can look that up also even on your computer, and I believe I have the spelling right. It's Mahabharata. So it's Mahabharata, and it's Indian writings. If you look that up, just put in Indian writings and Mahabharata. You probably will be able to get it up on your computer. It's just an interesting one of these reports from many years ago. And again, I want to go back to our own DVD. We do cover the Sumerians' writings about this stuff and also the fact that the Sumerians were, for some reason, able to get and have a perfect description of our solar system, which was again 4,000 years BC, and they had all, 9 or 10 planets in the right order and size going around the sun, which is rather extraordinary.
Well, there are a lot of things out there that we just can't explain, and certainly there is a perfect order to the universe, and many of these things were known thousands of years ago and then forgotten, and then, of course, we think we're discovering them today, but we're just discovering what was known by many of the ancient societies, 2,000 years before Christ was born, certainly known in ancient Egypt and ancient Sumeria. I mean, there had to be tremendous knowledge, tremendous engineering capacity to build those pyramids. You know, without any of the equipment that we have today, would have a hard time building it today. Well, they can do it, but, you know, certainly they didn't have the things then that we have today.
God bless America.
Pam Bob, as you analyze this and you realize these things have been around for a long, long time, and then, of course, all the efforts today on the part of the government to conceal their existence, there has to be a reason, a very good reason, why they don't want us to know.
Yeah, it's a really a big question. Like I say, there's a certain understanding if they're working on some top secret, super high flying, very fast aircraft or remote controlled electronic cameras and things of that sort, which of course today we know that several years ago I had discovered that they were working on these unmanned aircraft with the ability to spy and also carry weapons. And of course now, today, it's 14 years after I first discovered it and started talking about it, they are today using them on a daily basis over in Iraq and in a variety of places on the Mideast, using not only to spy on potential enemies of us, of ourselves, but then also, of course, they're using them to successfully shoot them and drop missiles and explosives on these foreign locations. And amazingly, Stan, these bombing attacks using the unmanned drone aircraft, which we created 10, 15 years ago, of course, today they're very, very well, they're completed and in complete operations. The amazing point is that they are actually manning them and utilizing the ability to control them by remote control out of Los Angeles, California. And the drones are put up in the air in, let's say, in Iran or Iraq, in that area over there, where Pakistan and...
Hold that thought, Bob. We're going to be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was simply talking about the Predator drones that they have today, that certainly they can actually spy on people in Iraq or in Pakistan or in Afghanistan, and these Predator units can actually shoot missiles and destroy things, but they're operated remotely from Los Angeles, and there is a base over there where all of these things are operated on. I don't know where he's going with that discussion before we get back to it. Bob, I want you to get your webpage out and let people know how they can get in touch with your ministry.
Okay, well, if anyone wants to get a good idea of what we've been doing investigatively, you can go on the computer to BobFletcherInvestigations.com and just put that all in as one word, just BobFletcherInvestigations.com and find our website. And we have in the website, of course, our complete catalog and explanation of each one of the DVD investigations that we've carried out over the last few years. And these primarily all are, in one way or another, showing a connection to the criminal side or the corrupted side of our government, I'm afraid. It does explain and put forward, for example, we have one of our reports we've done on weapons of mass control, which will show you some of the top secret weapons for so many years that are really shocking. Lasers, microwaves, mind-bending weapons that can actually fry the brains of a person with microwaves and lasers and that type of an application. And we have eight different investigations. So if you just go on Bob Fletcher, investigations.com, and you can get a good review of everything that's available. And of course, Stan carries many of our DVD reports as well. You can get them through Stan.
Well, Bob's been able to get an awful lot of amazing film footage, and then he'll work for maybe a year or two in putting these together. But we're fortunate to have them. They're some of the finest things, and they're accurate. We can really depend upon the material that he's putting out. Well, if you have a question, you're out there in the listening audience across America, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question on what we're talking about. But I don't think there's any question at all that the UFOs are real. And some of those maybe actually types of vehicles that we're producing, but there are some out there that they are not produced by our government, that are not experimental aircraft, that are tied into these strange little beings, the little grays, and you've seen them simulated, you know, on these various motion pictures, you know, strange encounters of the third kind and things of that sort. But this is not imaginary. There is a force out there, and we need to have some idea of what we're really dealing with. Well, go ahead. You were talking about the Predator drones, of course.
Right. What's amazing, well, as a matter of fact, we have those the Predator drones on our DVD of the weapons of mass control and a variety of those craft that were and are being developed, and some of which are now completed and are in use. But what's so amazing about them, Stan, is that the fellows that actually control these and actually have, they get feedback on their television screens in downtown. Actually, it's a few miles, I believe, north of Los Angeles itself. But basically, it's like in downtown Los Angeles, California. And the fellas that are running these drones, they get up in the morning, they get brush their teeth, get dressed, go on into work with their brown paper bag like everybody else does. They go into their computer rooms in near Los Angeles, California, switch on their equipment, and will launch a Predator that is, in fact, let's say in Afghanistan or in Iraq or near there, will be launched out of a base in over there. And their command is taken over by this gentleman sitting in an office in Los Angeles, and he will fly it out, locate the bombing target, fly over it one time, set their equipment, and blow up a building that's in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever it may be, and then they'll fly it back, and then they get up at the end of their day, shut off their equipment, and go home at night here in Los Angeles, California. That's when I talk about remote control war, it's amazing. And of course, some of these drones are some of the very craft that people had seen a few years back, and they would not know what they were if they saw them. They were unusual shapes. They were able to do unusual flying maneuvers because, in fact, they are unmanned. And so some of those which were being experimentally flown in California, in the Nevada desert, and several other places were some of the very UFOs that people were reporting a few years ago. And today they're being remotely controlled out of California and attacking people in on the other side of the world.
Well, Chris, the thing that bothers me about this is that all of this, of course, is developed with American tax dollars, supposedly to fight the enemy. But the enemy that we have over in Afghanistan and Pakistan and Iraq was all created. It was the CIA that actually promoted this radical form of Islam. There really was very little radical Islam. You know, back in 1980, before Zygmunt Brzezinski precipitated the Afghan War, recruited the Mujahideen fighters from all over the Islamic world and then indoctrinated them as radical form of Islam and been providing textbooks to the students in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Many of them today are the Taliban. Now we're killing them, but they were trained with American textbooks specifically in this radical form of Islam. But we justified what we do militarily, you know, because we're protecting ourselves from the wicked enemy. But the satellites that we developed to watch over the wicked, of course, Russians and communists in Russia, now are being used to spy on the American people in this country. And since we know that there are people in positions of power who have a different world view, who really do want a world dictatorship under a world elite, and they're working very closely with the communists in China and very closely with the communists in Russia to bring about this one world order, we can't help but wonder if the predators will be used perhaps one day against the American people. Could they ever possibly use these weapons that they've developed against the American people? But let's get back to the UFOs, Bob, because that is the real subject I'd like you to develop here.
Sure. The again, on our UFO, on the DVD that we've done on the on UFOs, as I mentioned earlier, we go back, we start at as far back as 2,000 to 3,000 years before Christ, going back on some of the old reports and the biblical reports, going that far back. And then we bring it forward. We also include in, which I felt was so direct, in one way or another, is a direct connection between the flying saucers or the UFOs, if you will, of whatever type, and the crop circles. We do get into the crop circles. We've got some wonderful pictures, actual live video of crop circles being created by some type of an illuminated floating sphere, a ball of some sort that seems to levitate by itself and move and maneuver and create some of those actual crop circles, which are, of course, these extraordinary, in some cases, just extraordinary, what I have to say, artwork, but the crop circles being so very detailed and in some unusual, some strange manner, some of them appearing to be, I don't know, a communication of some sort. Nobody yet has a good handle on where or what in the world we're looking at, and these crop circles are in the thousands. Again, this is one of the things that's kept so quiet. If you ask the average person, they say, "Oh yeah, those crop circles. Yeah, they've had a few of those over in England." Well, the truth is, they're worldwide, and they're not a few. We're talking in the last 15, 20 years. We're talking about thousands of these things at this point in time, and nobody understands what's going on with that, or what they are. They've not found a correlation between, let's say, any unusual activity or anything connected to them, but it certainly is falls into that unidentified flying object when you literally have live video of taken by several people of these floating spheres and balls, maybe 18, 24 inches across, flying down over a field of wheat or hay and having it instantaneously drop down into these configurations that are, again, drawings or sketches or something, and always very elaborate in their design. And when they get down to the ones that are of serious concern, they've gone and actually taken to laboratories and taken the wheat and the straw, the hay, and done laboratory investigations into content, and they find out that these things are interwoven together. They've been exposed to some high temperature that has actually caused them to explode. The liquids turn to steam and explode these individual stalks of hay or straw or wheat or whatever it is, and interweave these together. It's just way, way past. I mean, it's just some, one of these things, again, that you look at it, and if you even have any scientific background at all, you say, that's impossible. How in the world does something like this take place in a few seconds.
And of course, the other thing interesting, Bob, is that there's always the program out there to try to explain this. Oh, well, it's a natural phenomenon. It's a hoax on the part of a number of schoolboys running around in a circle, you know, with somebody standing in the middle and a rope, and that's how they get this perfect design. Well, if you've ever seen the designs of these, there's no way that these things are a hoax. They want to convince you it's a hoax, like they want to convince you that it's a hoax when somebody can take a spoon and bend it into a couple of circles. But I've seen some of those, at least one spoon like that, that was actually bent by a major general who was working with the military in this supernatural, and they have divisions within the military that are tapping into the other dimension. And this major general had done with a spoon, and when I tried to straighten that spoon out, I couldn't budge it at all. But they always try to come up with an explanation, because they do not, I think, want people to recognize that there really is another force out there. The last thing they want is for the public to catch a glimpse of what this is really all about.
And of course, a problem for the military, so to speak, or our intelligence agencies, that if how do they go about telling the public that there are things out here that they have no idea what they are? You know, they're supposed to be protecting us and having all of the knowledge to understand what's going on, and of course protect us from anything that may be a weapon. And if they came forward, even back in the 40s, and said, our jets went up yesterday afternoon and chased something, and they couldn't even catch it, and it was going 7 or 8 or 10,000 miles an hour, I guess you can't go out to the public and just say, hey, we don't know what this is, and it just flew circles around our jets and, kind of laughed at us and then took off into the darkness. Again, what they'd rather say is that 1,500 people that saw those UFOs that particular day were all hallucinating simultaneously.
Well, I think the interesting thing is that actually some of the astronauts actually have seen them, on their trips to the moon and elsewhere, returning from space. So, these are reliable reporters, but they certainly want to confuse us. They're doing a pretty good job of it.
Oh, yes, unfortunately, people. You know, somebody comes out and it's at that high level. Of course, it's changing a little bit now. People are finally coming around and realizing that not everything coming out of Washington, D.C. is the truth.
Very little coming out of Washington, D.C. is the truth.
It's taken, 100 years for the people to finally start realizing that they may not be telling us the truth all the time.
In fact, you know that very well, because you've been involved with some of these operations you didn't even intend to be, but poor Bob got started in this when somebody came in and purchased half of his toy-making company. He didn't realize that the fellow who was supposedly going to help him distribute and manufacture his toys was the CIA, and this was a cover operation for the Iran-Contra arms shipments, and of course he got into all sorts of problems from that. Well, right now, let's go to Kim, who's calling us from West Virginia. Kim, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. About a couple years ago, on a full moon, I was coming back from my church service around 8 o'clock, and must have been around October, and I saw something that was so amazing, I had to pull off the side of the road. It was a big black triangle, and it had like 3 lights on each corner. And it was just, it made no sound. It just was hovering over top of this area where, like, my parents were living. And I sat there for a long time, and when I went to get out to look at it, that's when it started moving. And I said, well, I'm getting out of here, because my radio started flashing, like, it went on, like, noon or whatever. It just changed and started flashing. And I tried to chase it down this road, and it was going pretty fast, and I thought I got to the point where I could only get so far on the road, and then deers were just jumping all out of the woods, and I sat there for a while, and I never could find it again, but that was the most amazing thing I had ever seen, and I said, that has to be a government project.
Well, whatever it is, Kim, it's real, and thank you so very much for sharing that with us. We're out of time. Let's go to Chet, who's calling from New York. Chet, do you have a quick comment for us?
Yes, gentlemen, I was just curious because I kind of studied UFO phenomenon for some years, and I was wondering if both of you feel that they're more interdimensional and from the spiritual end, and probably maybe our government has tapped into some of that, because I know they're ancient.
Bob, why don't you answer? Your thoughts on this?
I'll tell you what, in my opinion, some of them are probably in the spiritual realm. Some of them are physical craft that we are doing, and some of them I think there are physical craft from other dimensions or other space, let's say other universes, parts of the universe, solar systems, coming and visiting. I think it's three parts to it.
Okay,
thanks very much. Thanks very much, Chet. And, of course, our guest has been Bob Fletcher. And if you want to get his DVDs, well, we'll tell you a little bit later how to get them. This is an excellent DVD. You'll really enjoy it. Well, Bob, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Okay, well, the lady that called there and shared her experience of the triangular craft, this triangular craft, to make her feel better that she wasn't having a bad day, this exact craft, or type of a craft, has been sighted now for a period of about 10 years, and in every part of the world, an awful lot in Belgium and Europe, and they've been seen by military people, they've been seen by police officers, and they describe exactly what that young lady had described. So, again, I would simply say to everyone, first off, get our copy of the our DVD that we've done on UFOs at BobFletcherInvestigations.com. Get it for yourself, and don't be surprised if you look up sometime in the sky yourself and see something that just doesn't quite make sense. Of course, if it doesn't make sense, it's real possibly that it's a government project, okay, because they sure have done a lot of things that don't make sense. But don't hesitate to share what you've seen also. Don't think that people are going to laugh at you, because at this point in time, if you want to let me know about it, I'll be glad to share it with other people. And likewise, Stan will always be glad to share it. So call in anytime on any of his shows, and he'd be glad to share your experience with the rest of the listening audience.
All right, Bob. Well, thank you so very much. I guess it's been Bob Fletcher, and he's an investigative journalist, but, of course, he puts his talent in videos, and he's a frequent guest on one or another of our programs. I was supposed to be a guest on early this morning, but we got mixed up and got two guests for that same hour, so he was good enough to come back here for this afternoon and share his experiences with us. Bob, thanks very much for being with us. God bless you. We'll really look forward to having you again on one of our other programs real soon.
Thank you very much, and you have a good afternoon.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the discussion of UFOs, because this is really one of those intriguing mysteries. And, of course, you get into the crop circles, and you get into spontaneous combustion, and you get into the cattle mutilations, and there's something mysterious going on out there. It's not a simply make-believe. It's not imaginary. And the question is, what is it? How can we understand it? And is there a threat to the world in which we live in? And I would like to suggest there is a very real threat to the world in which we live in. And my hope is to guide you through this and to get you to understand the spiritual nature of what's going on. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, certainly I believe that the UFOs, some of them may be certainly experimental projects, but the government is involved in the supernatural, and I'm not talking about our government, our legitimate government, but there is an invisible government made up of people, many of whom are tied into these spiritual forces, these metaphysical forces. There are units in our own military that are dabbling in the supernatural and certainly tapping into the other supernatural dimension. And this was this major general. Maybe I can get him to come on our program some evening and we can talk about that. But certainly I believe that these are supernatural phenomena. I believe that these are demonic forces from the other dimension. These are interdimensional forces. We have a great book. It's called Alien Intervention. Alien Intervention. We carry Bob Fletcher's DVD on UFOs, and certainly you can call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Bob does a tremendous job of convincing you that the UFOs are real, and I believe they are real. I know in my heart they're real. My wife has seen them, but, of course, where do they come from? And I believe, of course, it's part of the spiritual battle which we're engaged in today, which, of course, takes us into so much of what we do and what we've written on. If you've never seen our three pamphlets on the occult hierarchy that rules the world, the occult hierarchy, they're three pamphlets, each one about 50 pages, and altogether, I think they're only $9.95. From Radio Liberty, you can get them. And then, of course, my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or the DVD, The Brotherhood of Darkness. This goes along then with the next in the trilogy. Sometimes we'll put them together in a trilogy, but The Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. There is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years that ties into really what we're talking about, and you need to know that secret, and you need to understand it, and you need, of course, to avoid these supernatural forces, which are very real and very intriguing and can give you great wealth and prosperity. And you might even become, maybe even a high government official if you tap into this, but of course at a terrible, terrible cost. You'll certainly want to get our latest talk, which is, of course, the Financial Armageddon, and the syllabus goes with that. And we will tell you who picked Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, for the presidency of the United States. And we simply quote not what I say, but what they say. And who are they? Well, you'll have to get the DVD to find out, but it's I think it will give you a great understanding of what caused the financial crisis and, of course, the reality that we're not going to back to the way things were. America, as we've known it, is going to cease to exist. There's an organized effort to destroy the financial stability of this nation, to destroy the value of our currency, to transfer our jobs overseas. I mean, why do you think we're going to give GM about $50 billion? We've already given them 20. We've agreed to give them another $30 billion, and GM is transferring its center of operations overseas. They tell us when GM comes back, it's going to be a lot leaner. That's right. It's going to be a lot leaner because it's going to transfer operations to China and to India and to Russia and to Brazil. So why are we giving them $50 billion when they're 20? We've already given them another $30 billion we're going to give them so that they will be leaner and transferring their jobs overseas? Because that's the real agenda. It is to transfer our jobs and our wealth and our manufacturing overseas. But we can't let the American people know that. They wouldn't understand. The ultimate goal is a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world currency. And, of course, the destruction of Christianity, which is why they took God and prayer out of our schools, and why the media is so much anti-Christian. And understand, this is not happening by accident. There is a great plan. If you haven't seen the DV sets on the Final Countdown, you need to see them, part one, part two. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.